victims.
Well, couch burning, house fires and burglaries. Otago University is upping the number of CCTV cameras on notorious student streets to crack down on bad behaviour, criminal behaviour, all that sort of stuff. You know, the burning of mattresses has been going on for decades. It's putting up 26 cameras on public streets, 26, some of which will be monitored by campus staff. Andy Ferguson is the University of Otago's Deputy Proctor, and Andy is with me. Good evening.
Good evening, Larry. How are you doing?
Very well. What do you hope to achieve with the cameras?
We hope to enhance the safety of students and our local community around our campus.
And how bad is the community? How bad is crime in the student area currently?
Oh, look, compared to other parts of the country and other parts of the world, very low. But we have noticed an increase over in recent years of some antisocial behaviour, some fires being lit near dwellings and other antisocial behaviour that we're concerned about. And certainly installing these cameras, we believe, will enhance the safety of our students and the local community.
Oh, I get where you're coming from. So it'll cut a lot of that stuff out, you believe?
Hopefully so. Hopefully the message will get out there to the criminal fraternity and others coming down for our O-Week and other people that are coming into Dunedin to cause problems for us. We'll get the message that they're not welcome and take their business somewhere else.
And what are you going to do with the footage in the worst case scenarios?
Look, if there is a serious crime, then we'll work together with the police and try and assist them to get the information that they're after. We'll obviously follow the privacy provisions and ensure that our paperwork and their documentation is correct. But we certainly haven't hid the fact that if there's a criminal investigation, the footage is there to assist.
So the CCTV cameras, they're Otago University's, and you monitor the whole thing, do you?
We do. We have the capability of monitoring all the cameras. They'll certainly be recorded, and our staff will select the cameras that they want to view. They can't review them all live all the time, but if something's going on in the area, they'll certainly have those cameras up in our control.
And what about residents' privacy? Have you taken those things into account?
Absolutely. We're in the final stages of developing our CCTV policy. We've taken feedback from the community and from our students and have incorporated that into our draft policy, and it very much protects the privacy of all the people using the areas around our campus.
And you've probably heard that a local board member in Christchurch worried about Ilam in Christchurch heading down the same path and has called streets surrounding Otago University as slums. Slums, Andy, what do you make of that?
Oh, look, I think I don't think anyone would call them slums around our campus. They're unique environments because we are a unique university and no one else has the high-density student population that we've got. I think calling them slums is a bit of an overreaction, but, you know, we're installing a unique, not a unique product, but we've come up with a unique solution for our unique issues at Otago.
Thank you very much. That is Andy Ferguson, the University of Otago's Deputy Proctor. It is now 12 past four. Meanwhile, the Ilam and Upper Riccarton Residents Association Chairman Phil McGoldrick is with me. And Phil, good to talk to you again. Long time no see.
Long time no see, my old Tim Roo friend. Good to talk to you.
Phil, you know, I said a local board representative, but you're not that, obviously. So you're the Ilam and Upper Riccarton Residents Association. So Phil, tell me, what is the problem here? How serious is this issue in your area?
Look, the area's changed hugely over the last few years, Larry. And, of course, it was established as a residential area primarily. But there's been a real intensification in this area. 10 and 20 years ago, mum and dads and 1, 2 and 3 children lived in these homes and they had 1 and 2 cars. Many of those same homes now have 6 to 8 to 10 people living in those homes and they have 5 to 6 to 8 cars. So there's some logistical problems that flow from that.
Is it making the area look a bit... I mean, look, let's talk about Dunedin first. It is high density, it is mainly students, and I think it is kind of slummy in some respects.
Anyone who says otherwise is head in the sound.
No, look, I agree. But is Ilam and Upper Riccarton, I mean, is Ilam looking like that now?
No, certainly not. But there's been a deterioration in the area for lots of different reasons. And it's not student bashing. The students are great in this area. One of the reasons I live in this area, they're colourful residents. They just need to be encouraged. They need to be monitored. And when their accommodation deteriorates, it's not always them. I think property managers are remiss in so many cases, and landlords are really irresponsible in so many cases. I think landlords, and I'm one of them, Larry, we've got rental properties in this area. We have an obligation to our community to make sure that, you know, the aesthetics of the area are preserved, that our values are preserved, that everyone can coexist responsibly and amicably. You know, within the university grounds, which are fabulous grounds, within their hostels and all that type of thing, our students are excellent. The presentation of those areas is fabulous. When they go off campus and they don't have that sort of guideline or supervision, then things go all right. It's not just students. We've got lots of migrant workers rebuilding the city that live in this areas. Hey, here's an interesting thing that I just thought of too. Ever since student loans were introduced, and we're now talking about possibly free tertiary education, then landlords have been able to get very high rents. When you have student loans or free education, all you do is subsidise landlords, and the returns are very handsome, so they like to get into properties in these sorts of areas.
But landlords, why would they let their properties go to the dogs? I mean, why would they Dunedin-esque, I guess, their properties? Because some of those properties in Dunedin are awful.
I think some of them are blissfully unaware. I think property management companies don't do enough in bringing their owners up to speed and reminding them of their obligations. And I think, Larry, in so many cases, they just don't care. They're cash cows. And they're just happy to take the money. And because there's such a shortage of student accommodation, then students will compromise on their living standards. There's almost a bit of a cult, isn't there?
Yeah, so what are you going to do? What can you do about it, Phil?
Oh, I think there's huge things that we can do. I'm going to work with the university. We're doing that already. They are very, very good to work with. And if there's a problem, I've got to say our university here is extremely proactive. Rod Carr's been a marvellous vice-chancellor. If we had behavioural issues, we can talk to Rod. Rod will talk to the people and normally sort it out. I'm going to be working with landlords. I think there's lots of things that we can do. Residents need to be a little more active, like my wife is, for example. Hey, parties next door, knock on the door and say, guys, you're being unreasonable. And if you don't change, we'll be talking to your landlord, we'll be talking to your property management company, and your lease could be terminated sort of stuff. So, I think, Larry, this area has paid the price for apathy. And I think I've got involved in this residents association. We had a fantastic turnout last night because people love the area. And I think that if we all just get active and become responsible, this won't be a problem. It's not a problem, but if we leave it unattended, it certainly will become a problem.
All right, Phil, good to talk to you. That is
nice
Phil McGoldrick, chairman of the Island and Upper